Welcome to the Destiny Church and Throne podcast. We pray this stirs you into a deeper relationship with Jesus and equips you to live a heaven on earth lifestyle daily. Enjoy.
Body this morning, in placement to encourage the body in who you are, and I just want to give you just a few nuggets to equip you for changing the world around you, everywhere that you go. And I want to first read Romans 8, and it really just kind of lines in with, you know, the word that Trent released was so prophetic, and then followed with what the Lord gave Wendy, like, hand in hand with what we're going to talk about today. You know, we have guests that come to our home. We have guests that we open the door to, and then we have family that resides with us, that stays with us. And one of the things that Trent was saying, I was just talking to a brother of mine the other day, and we were talking a lot about, like, vision and going after God's heart. But when he said what he said is that many times, we shut the door to what the Lord is wanting to do in our life. A lot of times it could be because of insecurities, because we're just wanting to hold on to things we want to hold on to. We want to appease our flesh. Or there's a vast number of reasons at times as to why we're not wanting Jesus to fully come in. Right? We've all been there. And that word, as he was saying, I was like, man, that was so on point. I'm going to read Romans 8 to you really quick. And I want to talk just a little bit about something we're familiar with, but I want to refresh the body of Christ. And I want to say, too, if there's pastors listening on the podcast that listen, if you're a leader, you're a pastor, I want to pray that the pressure to break off of you, that you feel like every week you've got to give the latest and greatest sermon. I just want to break that. Like I want to release it, that it's okay to refresh the body on the simple things. I don't know about you, but I didn't learn addition in one class setting. It took time. And so I just want to pray that over leaders, pastors of this house, leaders of this house, we don't have to go and get the late, like sometimes pastors, and this is just really quick before I get to this, sometimes pastors feel like they have to give the greatest Bill Johnson revelation for them to be like secure in their calling as a pastor or a preacher. Like we feel like we've got to give this like mind-blowing revelation because God speaks to me. Man, God has spoken to me through six-year-olds. I've received profound words from children more than I have those that are trying to push me down at the altar. We just break the pressure of that off pastors and leaders that feel like they've got to have the next mind-blowing revelation. Sometimes it's the simple things that yield the greatest results. So we're going to review today. Is that okay? We're going to review about our sonship and who we are as sons and daughters. The enemy comes to what? What is it? So say loud. There we go. In any order you want. He's here to steal, kill, and destroy. Right? Like, this is the primary agenda of the devil since the beginning. Steal, kill, destroy. Hell is real. The devil is real. Right? We don't have to fear these things. Demons are real. All this stuff's real. We don't have to fear this. But there's a very real enemy that wants to steal our sonship, kill our sonship, and destroy our identity. Because if he can rob us of this identity, then we wander not knowing who we are. Right? You guys follow me on this? Like we just wander. Everybody's looking for purpose. Everybody's looking for like, where do I fit in? What do I do? Everybody's looking for this. Romans 8 says, 13 says, if you live by the dictates of sin, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, then you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. There's a very real war that happens within us of the flesh and the spirit. Of the flesh and the spirit. If you live by the dictates of your flesh, of your sinful nature, you will die. But if you allow yourself to be led by the Spirit of the Lord, then you will live. If you allow yourself to be led by what the Spirit is leading you into, you will experience life and life abundantly. Why? Because a Spirit-led life is full of Jesus. I know, I love when we teach about like hearing the voice of God and stuff like that. One of my favorite things, you know, we say like, people always battle like, is this me or is this the enemy or, you know, who's speaking to me? And it's like, the enemy's not going to tell you to go and pray for someone and bless them. You know what I mean? Like, and so it's like the flesh and the thing that the enemy hits on, that flesh, that sinful nature, that thing that he tried to get Jesus with in the wilderness, right? That thing where he came in a very opportune time and he said, man, I know Jesus is hungry, so let me try to get him to compromise in his flesh. By saying the very thing that you are desiring, let me come tempt you with to see what's going to be produced in your life. You see, because the enemy will come and he will cause temptation in our life. He's going to cause temptation to come. And you're going to either bend your knee to what your sinful nature wants to do or what the Spirit is leading you into. You guys follow me on this. Your sonship is rooted in being led by the Spirit of God. Outside of being led by the Spirit of God, sons and daughters in Christ do not exist. They do not exist. So the whole notion of God's going to bless me and I can just do whatever I want to do is so false. It's very dangerous. I was talking to an individual the other day. They're getting set on fire for the Lord, loving Jesus. And all of a sudden, they were like, man, this job opportunity popped up. And I was like, just make sure that it's a God-led thing and not a financial-led thing. They're right? Pastor Trina Houghton, love that woman. She says, is it good or is it God? Remember, she used to tell us that long ago. Is it good or is it God? It can be good, but not God, right? And the enemy understands these things. He's an opportunist. He looks at moments where you're in, and he says, can I allow that person to be led by their sinful nature? Because anything outside of him, think about it. The Bible says this. It says that sin is you doing what you know, you doing the thing that you know you're not supposed to do. In fact, James talks about like even saying, I'm going to go there tomorrow. And it's like, you don't even know if God wants you to go there tomorrow. Like you're making plans outside of what God, like, I was like, man, that's a big deal. Sin is not just like going and doing some like deep, dark, sinful stuff. It's also God saying go left and you choose to go right. And so the enemy understands this, and he's such an opportunist that he looks at these moments and he says, can I get them to be led by their sinful nature, thus causing them to step out of their sonship? Because he wants to rob you of identity. He wants you walking and wandering lost and confused. That's why we look out and we have a world that's lost and confused, right? The right now in the world, one of the absolute biggest things that that America is being attacked with is the attack of transgender. It's one of the, if you turn on any level of anything, you will see, that's why even a lot of politicians now are coming out openly saying, I'm against it, I'm for it, I'm against it. Like it's a big deal. And it's so much confusion that is hitting the human race of boys or girls and girls are like, it's wild. And what the enemy's longing for is, it's always been his thing, is to rob the identity of God's children. What did he say to Adam and Eve? Like, he said this thing to Eve. Did God really say he's longing to rob identity? So Romans tells us all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. It goes on to say, you did not receive the spirit of religious duty leading you back into a fear of never being good enough. This is Romans 8:15 in the Passion. It's so eloquently put. You did not receive the spirit of religious duty leading you back into a fear of never being good enough. But you've received the spirit of full acceptance enfolding you into the family of God. Listen to this. And you will never feel orphaned, for as he rises up within us, our spirits join him in saying the words of tender affection, beloved Father, Abba Father. For the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our innermost being, you are God's beloved child. The Holy Spirit makes come alive the understanding and the full identity of us to walk in that we are God's children. That we are his beloved sons and daughters. And the enemy wants to destroy, kill, and steal every ounce of your sonship. And he wants to tempt you with things that are going to cause you to fall out of that. If you were to take note in your life, look at some of the areas where you have missed it, where you have failed, where you've not been led by the Spirit of God, where maybe in your own, like just you and you alone, like look at the areas where you have compromised. And I bet it's a moment of opportunity. I bet it was something that, like, it wasn't just like, oh, I'm never going to do anything like that. The enemy probably tempted you in an area where he knew that he could get you to either choose your sinful nature or being led by the Spirit of God. I talk about the season of my life of when I was attacked crazy for a few years and over my body, my mind, everything. And the enemy was always such an opportunity. He would come and knock at the door of my heart, and he would tempt me in moments where I was at my weakest, because he knew that I was going to have a choice to either choose my sinful nature or to choose my sonship. And this is what he's doing in the bride and the body of Christ. This is what he's doing with pastors all over America. Will you compromise with the flesh, or will you say yes to what the son, to, into your sonship? And he is tempting them, whether it be finances or whether it be adultery. He is tempting them with things that he knows that if he can just get them to step out of their sonship, he can cause division. Everything and all that we do is the enemy attacking our identity and who we are. Never for one moment does he want you to walk in who you're called to be. This is why we said earlier, emotional spirituality. Emotions are good. I'm an emotional guy. Emotions are good. We teach our children, hey, emotions are good. There's just some things you don't cry over, right? It's okay. Hey, it's okay. Let it out, right? But there are just some things. And so the emotional spirituality is like, well, if everything's good, hallelujah, glory to God, God is with me. But if things are going crazy and it's hell on earth, it's like, what, you know, like, I can't take this. I got to find and make my own way. Let me try to, you know, wrestle myself out of the hole that I've made myself probably to be in. You see, this is the leading of the Spirit. Like in all that we do as sons and daughters, we are called to be led by the Spirit of God. How am I able to be led by the Spirit of God? What's the easiest principle? Getting in His Word, knowing the truth, and abstaining from anything that could cause you to walk into compromise. Flee from it. Follow me? Flee from it. Like when you flee from something, you're not just like, see you later. Like fleeing from something is like, poof, like you're out of there. You know, like you're gone. You're out. You're moving as fast as you can. As sons and daughters of God, in your identity, God is making a way of escape in any area that the enemy is going to try to tempt you in. God doesn't tempt. But he makes a way of escape. It's like we've said it before. People say, well, God's not going to give you more than you can handle. That's not true. He will not allow temptation to overcome you. There's always a door. Trent was talking about that door. There's always an open door for you to run out of any temptation that comes your way. Always. There will always be a door. But what the enemy would like you to see is that that door is sealed shut. And then in shame and in guilt, you have to stay in that room. And it's like, well, the only way to get out is if I do this. The only way to get out is if I do that. And you begin to compromise in who you are as a son or as a daughter. And so slowly but surely, the temptation begins to outweigh you because you're so hungry and he's come at such an opportune moment that you turn stones to bread. He keeps attacking in such this place to where you finally say, well, fine, I'll just bend my knee anyway. But there's always a door out. There's always a way of escape. Your sonship changes cultures, who you are, walking in Him. Like, that's why the enemy longs to cause even God's people to be orphaned. You know, a lot of times in the church, when people are church hurt, it comes from one experience. I don't know if you've ever been church hurt or not, but it probably came through like one experience. Like one person said something or a few, like, it wasn't like, well, every church I went to for 5 years, I visited 25 churches and all 25 of those churches hurt me the exact same way. More than likely, church hurt came from one instance. And the enemy understands that if he can get the bride of Christ or get you to start speaking against the church because of that one instance, then he knows that you speaking against it will start to actually develop a tribe of people speaking against the bride of Christ. And now what has happened is you've used your voice as a son or as a daughter. You've now used your voice as one who is led by your fleshly desires, led by sinful nature, and now you're sowing into division. Church splits don't happen because people are having a good time. Church splits happen because somebody was hurt and offended, and they start to use their voice as a son or a daughter to speak division into a house. The enemy's going to come and tempt you in those moments of opportunity. Even think about where you're at financially. I know people who make decisions financially because they are not trusting God enough, but they compromise in the areas of finances, so they just do what they feel they need to do. And God's like, what are you doing? This is a season where I'm telling you to trust me, and you didn't, and you exited that season, and you're just doing whatever you want to do, so now you're worn out, you're tired. Now you're broken, you haven't prayed in months. And then it's like, God, why is the enemy attacking me? Why is my fire burnt out? Well, maybe because you were led by your flesh and not the spirit. The enemy will come in the moments of opportunity. I'm telling you, where he feels you are limping, he will attack. That's just how he is. He is an opportunist. And in your sonship, he's going to get you to either bend your knee. He's going to desire for you to bend your knee to the flesh, but we have to make the choice to walk in who we are. Because the word tells us, I'm going to read it again, all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. I'm going to hit you with three more. Galatians 4 tells us, now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. There is like just in you, the position that you have, the position that you have as a son or a daughter in itself. Such authority, such ranking. People want to talk about rankings in the spirit. Just you being a son or a daughter is high ranking. Throw the apostle and prophet and all this other stuff out where people want to talk about rankings in the spirit and higher levels, higher devils. I've heard all that stuff. Just you being a son or a daughter already puts you as an heir. That already puts you in high ranking. Like, what more? Galatians 3, 26, 27, for you are all children of God through faith in Christ, right? Through Jesus, through what he accomplished. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. Identity, who you are, marked by who you are. Marked by who you are. Like this is a beautiful thing. The world around you sees who you are. They see what you're wearing. You show the world of the way that you respond to things, whether it's going to be by your sinful nature or it's going to be by your sonship. You're showing the world what you're wearing. I want to show the lost and the broken and the hopeless. I don't want to show them that things get crazy and I just trust myself when things go haywire. I want to show the lost and the broken and the hopeless that are looking and longing for something what foundational thing looks like in Christ. What even if everything else is shaking around me, that we can be found unmovable because of him. That's the kind of clothes I want to wear. That's what I want to put on. That's the new nature that I want people to see. Ephesians 1, last one. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, I want you to hear this. This is what we're going to stamp today's message on. Even before God made the world. Everybody say that with me. Even before God made the world. Let's get the revelation that, okay, the reality of what is happening here is that long ago, the Lord created the heavens and the earth. Okay, so let's get the revelation here that like Mars and Neptune and all these other places, like everything else, that before God created, check this out, okay? Before he made the world, before he created all these things, God loved us and he chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. That's what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. There was this old movie called Problem Child with John Ritter. Throwback movie. And this little boy in there, he wanted to adopt a son. He couldn't have children. Y'all remember that movie? Yeah. Yeah, man, that movie's wild. That's a wild movie. And John Ritter's character was a dad, and he couldn't have children. He wanted to have children. And he's like, well, I'm going to go adopt a son. And he goes, and Gilbert Gottfried's the counselor. It was a beautiful, beautiful moment. And he's like, I got this kid for you. You know, his little eyes and everything. And what was the kid's name? Junior. His name was Junior. I'm telling you, this movie's wild. His problem child's name was Junior, I think. And man, this kid was like crazy. I mean, this kid was like trying to kill everybody, trying to, like, was terrorizing the whole neighborhood, like setting stuff on fire, tried to kill the grandpa. Like, it was nuts. Like, it was crazy. But like throughout the entire movie, it's so beautiful. You know, they say like God speaks in all things, right? Like John Ritter loves this little kid. And at the end, this little kid runs away to go try to be with this prisoner guy. And he's like, this is who I want to be with. I want to be like this prisoner guy. Like, that was his out. And John Ritter's like, no, I'm your father. And he goes and he searches this kid out and he shows him what real love is. I know that's wild, but just look at it. You're one. Like, you were one in your sin and your rebellion and your brokenness and your anger and everything, and your backstabbing and your gossip, everything that you were one that somebody would look at and say, there is no way I want to adopt that person. But yet God, knowing everything you would do, everything that you would do, he said, I'm going to adopt them and I'm going to bring them into my family. Before he laid anything down, he had a plan to say, no matter what they've done, I'm going to bring them into my family. You were sons and daughters. He did this, and it brought him great pleasure. The enemy understands this. The enemy understands this, and he wants to rob you of that identity by causing you to compromise, by calling you to live by the desires of your flesh and out of your sinful nature. But we no longer have to put on the sinful nature. We now have a way to put on the new nature because of Jesus and what Christ accomplished. Stand with me. Come on, we just want to put on our new nature. I just, like, if you know the enemy's been attacking you in opportune moments where there's been temptation, where there's been moments where it's like, man, like, there was compromise, where you have shut that door to what God has been wanting to do. There is such joy in knowing that your sin is forgiven. The enemy would want to hold it over you in guilt and condemnation. He would want you to condemn yourself because of you partnering with your sinful nature. And now hear this. If you live by the flesh, you will die. There is no other counter offer. That's it. But if you are led by the Spirit of God, you will find life. You were one that he looked at, like that little crazy kid in Problem Child. You were one that he looked at and said, I want to be with them, so I'm going to make not a way, but the way for them to be in my family, for them to be sons and daughters, regardless of where they've been and what they have done. This is the beauty of grace. The beauty of what Jesus accomplished on the cross so that we can now step into says, regardless of what my file says, regardless of what my record says, I am accepted in him because of Jesus. But that comes with us living by the Spirit and not by the flesh. There's no way that we can live by the flesh and still speak and claim that we are sons and daughters of God. It can't happen. It's like the Cowboys winning the Super Bowl in this century. It won't happen. It just can't happen. Hold out your hands, beloved. God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for just fresh bread. We thank you for family. And we just receive right now the revelation that we are sons and daughters. We receive the revelation that regardless of what's going on around us, we will not bend our knee and compromise or by our flesh or by sinful desires because like we feel we have to do it our way. We say yes to living in your family. We say yes to our sonship. We say yes to who we are identified in you. And Lord, when the enemy comes at opportune moments to attack us in the areas where we are limping, we will say, Lord, we are yours. We will put on our new nature. We will walk in the mind of Christ. We will do what we see our Father doing. So we just receive fresh revelation of identity. We receive fresh bread this morning. We receive the fresh bread of revelation of identity. We receive the fresh bread of sonship. We're not going to bend our knee to temptation. We're not going to bend our knee to sinful nature. We're not going to be led by the flesh. We will be sons and daughters who are led by the Spirit of God. And right now we just receive the ease of His leadership. We receive the ease of His leadership. We receive the ease of following Him. There's an ease in following Him, beloved. There's an ease. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I'm thankful for each and every one.